Okay, please give a warm welcome to our speaker tonight, Yuriko from the Gracious Living Home Group.
I'm Yuriko, I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, Yuriko.
Thank you for inviting me today to tell you guys a little bit about my story. I'm very honored to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully, you know, carry the message. I'll start at the beginning. My sobriety date is March 3rd, 2023. I am from Ecuador. Originally, that's the land of the bananas in Aguardiente, which is kind of like moonshine, but worse. from the beginning, my alcohol was out of control. I've been trying to be in denial through this whole program, thinking, oh, this just happened like recently. But listening to stories and just doing some honest assessment of my life, I realized that I like alcohol from the first day I tried it. I started in high school, I was 17 years old, and I was very insecure, and alcohol was so much fun, I thought. I will sneak it in with my friend in little water bottles and thing, and it was just such a dare to do it in front of the teachers, just like I'm drinking water without making faces and things. I felt like that was great. Look at me, I'm all grown. when I turned 18, things got even more interesting because I got a job as a bartender. Bartender in Ecuador is a little wild, so I was always wearing my cute boots and my leather jeans and up on the bars giving people tequila. That was it. To the dance of mariachis. Woo. I had like free alcohol, no food. I was living by myself, so nobody could tell me like no. I was like, this is my own destiny. I'm doing what I want, drink. And I always drink more than I wanted to. I always thought, oh, tonight I don't feel good because I did get hangovers and everything, but I was so young and I was like invincible, like now I can drink as much as I want. So my 21st birthday, in Ecuador the age is 18, you can start drinking at 18. My 21st birthday was special, so I decided I was going to drink one of each one of the bottles of my bar. Like, that was my goal at 21. Going the right way. during this time, I got myself in bad situations that I thought they were funny. Looking back, they were very dangerous. On one occasion, I was drunk with my friend, and I found a parked Mercedes-Benz that was, the owner was a known drug dealer, and I was trying to get the Mercedes thing off of the top so I could wear it. El Chapo. I wanted to be up there with the big league people, so never got caught. I walked with it around. I did take it out, so strength. Alcohol made me invincible, so, you know, that was what I was doing when I was 21. At 22, I met my husband. He's American, and he had a complete separate set of cultural rules, like drinking was frowned upon. Like, so I stopped drinking. I was able to moderate. I came to the United States, and for 18 years, I was fine. I thought, like, I would drink, and I always drink more, but never crazy. I was always able to stop at some point. Fast forward to 2020. Well, let me go back for a minute. When I was during those 18 years, I had no interest on no higher power or God or anything like that. I was doing it by myself. I felt that every accomplishment was mine. I worked very hard on my career. I was a financial advisor. I got my licenses in English, because that's my second language. And I was making a lot of money and accumulating all these material things and telling people what to do. That's the best job ever. And they will give me money for that. And awards and things like my ego was like, woo, huge. And I thought that was all I needed, you know, and I didn't really care about anything else. Like, my life is great. I go to the Chop House and have martinis every Friday, and then every Thursday and Friday, and then every Saturday, you know, and then Sundays, because why not? I'm working so hard. This is my reward. And I remember my husband saying, like, I really would like to have a glass of wine with the steak. And I was like, wine with a glass? What is that? I'm like, no, we gotta get like the whole thing of tequila. Like, we gotta get, you know, our money worth. Paying $15 for a drink, yeah, it has to be like pure alcohol, you know? So my mentality was always, when I look back into like, it wasn't never for the social aspect or enjoying the alcohol. It was because I wanted to get drunk every time. Something in me is wired differently. I didn't know it then. 2020 got here and COVID hit, and I quit my job at the bank because I was scared of getting sick. my husband knew with a couple of months before it happened, so he started getting ready, and he's like, he's military, so we had to like really camp. He was like, make sure we got extra of everything. So I went and got 24 cases of White Claw, because I will not have food, but I will not be thirsty. And I packed them up in the garage, and I got all these bottles of wine, and we were like gonna have the best time of our life. Like, this pandemic is gonna be amazing. At the same time, my daughter went to college, so my reason for living, that's how I felt, was moving to a different place, and I had nothing. All of a sudden, everything was quiet. I had no job. I had nobody to take care of. My husband kept working. He travels a lot. So I was alone in the house with all this alcohol and no purpose at all. So I started drinking in the day. With this isolation and just worry about my daughter constantly, because that's what I do. She is my everything, and I have to control everything that she does. And she was 20 minutes away, because I track myself how long it will take me to get there. I couldn't get there fast enough, so I was constantly living with anxiety, waking up in the middle of the night, like, what happens if she does drugs? Ooh, let me have a drink. That will make it better. What happens if she's drinking and gets in an accident? Ooh, I need more alcohol. So it got to the point where I was drinking all the time, and getting very defiant about it, because people start getting upset. I was like, why are you angry at me? Like, I'm just having fun, you know? I'm not really, I don't have to be anywhere. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to do anything. You know, I just wanna relax. So, complete denial, just keep going into this route of I wanna do what I wanna do, and I'm an adult woman, and I can make my own decisions, and what I wanna do is drink. Things started getting a lot worse. My anxiety was through the roof. I had depression. And the only way that I could have a little bit of peace was when I had that first drink. That was the calming of all my mind. I didn't care about anything. And I was drinking so fast that I didn't give it enough time for it to seep. So I will like chug this White Claws. That was my favorite thing. And then I started hiding alcohol, which I didn't think it was an alcoholic thing. I was the only one. I thought I was the only one doing that until I started going to meetings. I was like, I'm hiding alcohol. And people are like, yeah, can we do that? I was like, I never know you. How are you doing the same thing I'm doing? So I, during my drinking, I accumulated a lot of debt. For some reason, I always wanted to escape from my house when I was drinking. Well, getting blackouts, and I knew I was gonna get in an argument with my husband, or somebody was gonna tell me something we didn't wanna hear. So I was, my plan, my drinking mind said, go to hotels all the time. So I was always booking hotels everywhere. And I will spend 3 days on a blackout drinking in a hotel. Then I got banned from the courtyard once. Uh-oh. Because apparently I've been drinking a lot, and I woke up and this housekeeper was praying next to me, and I remember her saying, we're gonna get this demon out of you. And I looked at her and I said, I am the demon. And she was like, oh, no, 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 no. And I was just laughing, like, this is the best day ever. Like, I need to go get more drinks. Like, all right. So they told me I couldn't come back there, but knowing that I had a lot of credit cards, I could pretty much go anywhere. Then I thought the hotels were just too close because they will always find me. Apparently my phone has a location thing that I didn't know how to turn off. So my daughter would always tell my husband, she's here, she's there. So I became that liability. Like, people started really getting worried about me. And I love my family, but I did not care. I was like, I just want to be by myself. I deserve it. I had given so much to you guys that from now on, this is all about me. That's my mentality. The hotels were not far enough, so I decided I was going to go to Thailand. I was going to live in Thailand, so I bought plane tickets for $1,800 because I was going first class. Yeah. I don't fly like that. Now you have a passport or a visa or a plan, but that's how I start accumulating all my debt on my decisions of like, if I can just be in an island by myself, I could drink forever. Like, I don't have to listen to these people anymore. You know, my family became these people, you know, that are in the way. I didn't see anything wrong with it other than what they were doing. I saw my husband really broken, and he's a tough guy, so I kind of felt a little bad at the beginning. And I decided to do some research about rehab when I was a little sober. But then one day I woke up in Florida because I decided, apparently on a blackout, I called and, you know, they got me and they flew me. I don't know how. I opened my eyes and I was in a rehab in Florida for 45 days. I couldn't get out. So I was crying and I was like, I'm never going to drink again. And for 45 days, I did pretty good. So I was like, you know what? I'm not an alcoholic. I don't need to drink. I just need to be away from these people that are bugging me so much. So the 45 days, my husband said I could come home because he was really pissed because I didn't even say goodbye. I just left one day. And on my way to the airport, I drank again. I said, this is done. I did my rehab, 45 days. I'm cured. Had a martini. Then I had two glasses of wine on the airplane and got here completely wasted. And I wasn't cured, but I thought this is just because of the stress, because I'm scared of airplanes. So that's why I'm always in denial, always justifying, you know, why I'm drinking and drinking and drinking. After that, I had a bad incident with my daughter. She was babysitting a dog for a neighbor, and she wasn't able to get on time. And this is one of the things that I had to work on my amends, because I did things that I didn't know how affected other people. And I went over to help get the dog out, but the lady had a whole thing of bottles of alcohol in there. So I stole like two bottles of wine. Why? I don't know. Because I had a car, I could drive to the store and get my own, but it was just the rush of drinking it and hiding it and bringing it home. At all this, I have a ring in my house so my husband could see everything every time I come in with my boxes of of stuff that I needed. Which really annoyed me, so I used to put tape on the ring so that he wouldn't see me. Yes, that is my level of intelligence. And things just started getting worse. Every time it was worse. The drinking, now I wasn't selective anymore about any of the alcohol that I was buying. It was just the cheapest thing, the strongest thing. I just wanted to drink all the time. I started blacking out. Fell from the stairs up on my house. I had a beer in my hand and I caught myself and I was crying and my husband came. I mean, I could have died, really, break my neck or something, but I didn't. He's asking me, you know, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, I need another beer. Like, that's why I was crying, because my beer broke. Not because I fell down the stairs and all these other things. Then, not even 3 days later, I was drinking again and I decided it was snowing. Decided to go have a cigarette. So I go outside and I'm smoking really hard. So my head and the alcohol and everything. So I get up and I just go forward. I hit my nose on one of the pillars in my house and I shattered my nose in 16 pieces. and I was I thought it was just seconds that I was on the floor, but when I got up, I was, my whole driveway was covered in blood. And I thought, like, I put a jacket on, I was like, I really gotta stop smoking. Like, this is getting out of control. Like, these cigarettes are gonna kill me, you know, that's it. It's like, I gotta stop smoking. The last incident that I had, it was, I had a DUI. Again, I was escaping places and I was running out of money. So I put my dog in the car because my cat escaped. I couldn't get him. He was like, no way. And I put my dog in the car and I drove to North Carolina. I was going to the beach. Somebody called on my plates. So I was going from lane to lane. And I was stopped and I had a 0.27 alcohol level. And I was still fighting. Like, do you know who you're talking to? You know who this is. Well, they did not, and they didn't care. I was in jail all night. They asked me if I had someone to pick me up, and I didn't have the face to call my husband to drive to North Carolina to come get me. So I was like, this is just on me. The morning I had to go get my car, I had to walk through these fields in North Carolina, grasshoppers hitting me on the forehead. I'm like, why am I here? Like, this is not me. I'm a financial advisor. Come on now. Why am I in the middle of the road getting hit by these bugs? Like, horrible. So somebody, my husband suggested, AA. He said, you know, I think that we had enough and you need to do something because we are done with trying to babysit you. You're an adult, blah, 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 blah. So I went to a meeting and I didn't like it. I was like, oh, they're so loud. They're so wrong talking about all this God stuff and the higher power and the Bible. I said, and my husband was like, there was a Bible. I was like, I'm pretty sure. No, there was none. But I was like, I think I did see one there. So I wasn't ready. I wasn't listening to the message. And I said, I can do this by myself. So I got the book and I started reading it on my own. Fast forward, that didn't work. I kept drinking. I got a bunch of white chips. And finally, I found a sponsor. Actually, a sponsor found me. A very nice lady from the Smithfield Wellness Group came and told me, you need a sponsor. I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, okay, what is that? I don't know. But she told me I have to call her every day, which I didn't want to do because every day I wanted to drink. And if I call her, she was going to talk to me out of drinking. And that was not a thing. So I was still fighting it. You know, I was never really, I didn't jump with both feet. I didn't surrender. I was just saying, I'm not an alcoholic. I just need time. I'll be all right. It's COVID. So I started going to meetings and all of a sudden I started listening to interesting things that people were saying and sharing. And I started feeling bad about myself. I started feeling guilty. And honestly, I knew that if I didn't do something different, I was going to die because I was very unpredictable, aggressive, defiant, and I couldn't control my own behavior. I couldn't hold my tongue. I couldn't stop fighting. You know, and I was gonna get in trouble, you know? So, through this whole process, the hardest part for me was to accept that I was powerless over alcohol. I didn't wanna let it go. I was like in love with alcohol. Like, I could not imagine myself without a drink. How am I gonna go to a restaurant? How am I gonna do this? How am I gonna do that? My wedding, my daughter's wedding. I wanna drink. It's her day, I wanna get wasted. So, start working the steps. And I had to go back to number one many times because I was still drinking and I didn't know what I was doing wrong. Now I know I wasn't fully invested in the program. I wasn't really working the steps or being honest. That was a big thing for me. And she talked to me about the higher power. You know, can you just accept that it's something bigger than you? Like, you didn't make the sun come out today. Like, well, you can't do that. And I told her a story. I said, I don't believe in God because there was this one time where I had lied about a loan. I took a loan and I didn't tell my husband. And we were going to refinance the house. We were at Bank of America. And they started pulling up all my credit. And I saw it coming. And I started shaking. And I went to the bathroom and I prayed. And I was like, God, please destroy this bank. Right down Bank of America. Earthquake. Whatever. And I will be good. I promise. And then nothing happened. So I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is not for me. God, not a thing. So she looked at me and she was like, are you for real? I was like, yeah. So it was a slow process on starting to get faith. Finally, I accepted that I was powerless over alcohol. And I thought, you know, let's just give this praying a try. And one night, I thanked God for a sober day. I thanked him in the morning. And I think I kept going to meetings, and I started doing 90 meetings in 90 days. I had to do it because I couldn't get sobriety under me. I couldn't. I had 3 days, I drink again. A week, I drink again. And I got a job at Amazon warehouse, which I found a lot of humbleness by doing this job at 5 in the morning every day to pay for the ticket to Thailand. That I didn't get to go. So, you know, I started making my list of amends. And then we got to step four and she asked me about my defects of character. And I was like, I just think I care too much. I think that's... I'm really bad at delegating. And she was like, okay, this is not a job interview. I think you're going to have to write ego as the first one. I was like, ego? What is that? So we had a lot of laughs, and it was so nice to have someone to talk to, being completely honest and not being afraid of what they would think about me, you know, because I didn't have to be perfect. I didn't have to be all these things that I thought people expected of me, you know. I could just tell my story and just say, this is the problem. And through step four, I learned so much about me. It was very easy to grant my resentments about others, but just like I don't have any defects of character, I was very hard to see the part that I had. I was like, oh, I do not. Right before I finished my fourth step, it's when I had, I call it my spiritual awakening. I was on the phone with my husband and I felt something that was just, I can't explain it. I remember telling him, you know, I'm not gonna let alcohol take one more day for me. And I meant it. And it was the first time that I actually thought I could do this. Like, I can't get out of this hell that I'm living because this is not a life. And something changed. The obsession and the compulsion start going away. Like I went one day without thinking about alcohol and then it turned into a week, then a month, and my husband started thinking like, oh, what's happening? Something's changing. Then he had a great idea to switch the mattress. And when he lifted up, there was 24 cans of white cloth stored in there that I have apparently put in there in a blackout for days, you know, right? So he was like, oh, you're still not on the program. You're still not doing it. I'm like, why can't you trust me? Why do you want from me? I've been sober for 30 days, you know? So yeah, I was it's a miracle that I'm sober. I honestly tell you it is a miracle because I was a fighter. I started making friends on meetings. I met my best friend, Jennifer. We're sober sisters. And I had to relearn how to be an adult and just stop talking so much. Just think about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. Because just like the book says, alcohol was a symptom of all of my defects of character, of all of my issues that I did myself. I made a routine to pray at night, prayed in the morning, and I have tried to meditate. I'm very bad at it, and every time I'm quiet, my cats like to play parkour, so it's a little hard for me to get some silence in the house. But I know there is a lot of benefits on it, and it's just another thing. Like, this is always a work in progress. You always can do better. You know, you always can find that serenity and that peace if you follow the suggestions and work the program. Went through all my steps with my sponsor. Amends were hard because, again, my ego is huge, and I always want to blame other people for what they do to me. And it took me about a year to make the biggest amend of all. I was to my mother. I resent her a lot. But with a sponsoring through the program, I was able to see what part I had on certain things and apologize for those things. And it was such a relief, you know, to be able to start a new relationship with her that wasn't as toxic as it has been. I am making living amends to my husband and my daughter because I was a hot mess and I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. And then I had to make other amends that I didn't want to do, like my daughter's ex-boyfriend. I called the cops on him because he was, I thought, he was giving my daughter drugs. And I didn't like that, and I was drinking. So I called the cops on him, and he was very upset at me. And I said, I'm sorry, and he didn't forgive me. So I was saying, even North Carolina made me make amends when I got the DUI. Why won't you? But it took me a while to understand that they don't have to accept my amends. I just have to mean it. You know, I'm sorry for my part on it. So learning and growing. Today, I'm 14 months sober. My problems are still there. They're smaller, you know, laundry and getting to doctor's appointments, but that's better than jumping out the window, you know, looking for aliens. I'll take those problems any day. I think I have found a good enough amount of peace and serenity. I run a thriving business where I dry flowers, which is a blessing because that's what I want to do, and I get to do it. Like, how exciting is that? Working on relationships with my family. But the most important part of this program for me is the sense of gratitude. I remember now that I was so miserable back in Ecuador, in my country. I had so much lack of so many opportunities, and I remember crying and begging to God to give me an opportunity for a better life. And he listened then, so I'm here. And he listened now, so I'm sober. So I just wanted to tell you guys, don't undermine the level where you are right now, the part of the journey where you are at the moment. There is a reason, a higher purpose of why you're there. Identify why you are at this level. You will find a higher power message of why you're doing and going through these things. There's hits that are necessary in your life. There's tears that have to be cried. There's people that might need to leave your life. It's your journey. Embrace the change because it's the most beautiful way that God has to tell you that you're growing, you're maturing, you're connecting. You're connected with your identity and with your purpose. You're here through the love of your higher power, and he will never give up on you. Embrace change, find purpose, be of service, never give up, and always keep coming back. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That was very good. I've asked a friend to come up and talk about step 5. Mm-hmm.